Well, I told you God has a message for us this morning. The Lord has been dealing with me still on the subject with kingdom authority, is walking in the light of our authority. One of the things we dealt, now last Sunday the Lord had given me a message which really dealt at the time we're having our Easter service. But He brought me back over to this dealing with the authority, and we had opened up in a teaching the week before dealing about keys to the kingdom of God. There's keys. And we talked about when we use this term in the scripture, keys, we're not talking about a physical key that's handed to you and you go stick it in a lock and turn it, that kind of key. And so we need to think in our society today when we read the Bible and we see key, what do we think about? What do we think about a key? Keys have to do, in the scripture talking about, has to do with authority. A key allows you authority. There's something you have authority over, whether you have a key to your car, whether it's an actual key you put in your ignition, or whether you have what they call a key fob now, and you can put them in your pocket now, and you can start your car. So the crooks know that too. You know, car thefts haven't slowed down because they got all these things that are supposed to really make it work and that stuff. And they still know how to do this stuff. Well, you know why? We've educated bad people today. And we teach them how to become more sophisticated at lying, cheating, and stealing. If people don't get saved, they don't get to be better people because they get educated. I mean, sit down and look in the news, the amount of people doing things who are educated in what they're doing. Educated people lying, cheating, and stealing and doing stuff is phenomenal. Wow, they learn how to do things better. You educate a thief, and you're going to have a guy who can open more locks. Hallelujah. So you want to get born again. But see, we're talking about keys. And the Lord Jesus, we read where Jesus had talked to Peter and told Peter, because Peter got a revelation. And that revelation, really, that revelation in itself was the key about the kingdom. He got a revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. God gave him. He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. He said, you got this from the Father. That God revealed something. God revealed you the key to the kingdom. And the key to the kingdom is that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus. And so we went on, and he spoke to him and told him and gave him about binding and loosing. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. This is what's going to happen. Giving you the keys to the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth, heaven will bind. Whatever you loose on earth, heaven will loose. In other words, heaven's going to allow whatever you do here, you're going to have the keys. See, man has the keys in the earth. And really, most of the church world, after the time, now we look back and the apostles understood some of these things back in those days. And we go along in church history and you'll find where there was people who had certain revelations. But basically, this revelation's been lost in the church. Now, it was brought back, and there's people who began to teach on it. I heard it first taught by Kenneth E. Hagin. But teaching on these things is because this became new. It became a thing almost, people talk of heresy. You know, and people talk about, like, we're in charge, we have authority. Because, see, Christianity don't like that. They like God's in control. And I want you to think about these things clearly. If God is in control, why am I praying? Why am I asked to pray? If he's already controlling it, is there a need for me to pray? Is there? Why would I want to change what God's controlling? Why don't you like what God's controlling? Why don't you like it? If God's in control, we should be upset. We shouldn't be upset at the condition. We should look around at what's going on today in the earth. God's in control over Ukraine. What on earth is a church praying and sending money to Ukraine? We're trying to stop God from doing his thing? See, you got to sit around and thinking about these things, because these deep-seated things are in much of the church world, in much of the thinking. And this defeats prayer 100%. People are praying, but they don't know if God's going to do anything about it really or not. This may be his purpose of what we see going on. So we pray, and that's why ministers stand up and say such things as, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. He says they go through that because they have no clue what's going on. They're trying to figure out why when we pray, things don't work. We're trying to figure this out. Why am I praying and things don't work? What is really bad, and I carry this over to the faith side of people with so-called faith, because many of the faith people will not stop to try to figure out why things aren't working. They just keep beating the same thing, making confessions and things that never happen or never come to pass. They keep saying and doing things. They say, hold it. Hold it. What is going on? See, I have a need to know. I talk to God about this stuff all the time. I got questions. And I ask God questions about things, and I sit down, Lord, they're saying this. This preacher preaches this about faith, and they say this, but none of it's working. What's wrong? Something has to be wrong along the line somewhere. Because we can see what your word says, and we take it. Thank God we take what we can see and know. But I found this out about Ed. He don't know everything. And sometimes I have part revelations. I have a revelation to a part of a thing. But there's more that I need to know. And we need to understand this today. We're up against some things today in this world. We're up against some things. We're up against some spiritual forces we hadn't dealt with before. And this is one thing that I've learned. You're not going to just take the generic stuff. You know, it's one thing that you stood out there, you know, it's sort of like being in a war, you know, and you're pretty much on a fight in a country that you can pretty well lick. But then one day you run into the big boys. And you know what we've done? We've run into the big boys. And we're trying to fight them on the same level that we fought the guys who we could lick. And we need to understand this. Now that doesn't mean, see, we're against spiritual forces that, and the church needs to know. Are we in, is our, just like an army, is an army equipped to go? Is an army equipped to go? You know, it's like America. I get these, I mean, I even heard a preacher say this. Boy, if I was in charge, he said, I know where our airplanes are and our stuff, and I would send them over. And I thought, you want a third world war? I know this. This preacher has no idea the condition of the American military. We have done war our soldiers out. I was just reading an article of a guy, 15 tours in Iraq. 15 tours. America hates its military. We are wearing our people down. We don't have a draft. We should have a draft. Either get in or get out. We're taking our people and we're wearing them down. People don't understand this. Our guys today in the military who are in the combat areas spend about 20 times more time in combat than the guys did in the Second World War. They're spending hugely enormous amount. We wonder why they're coming back wore out and they're coming back burnout. They spend more days of actual combat, many more days than the guys did in the Second World War. We just keep sending them and keep sending them. The guy spent 15 tours. Whoever sent him for 15 tours ought to get the electric chair. I mean, this is absolutely insanity that runs in our nation. And we need to understand this. I want you to get it. This is the church. There's a few are fighting the battle. And most of the church is in the playground. Most of the church is in the Pentagon. They want to make decisions. But they ain't in the battle. They aren't in the battle at all. Most of the church, nah, we don't want any discomfort whatsoever. We don't want to have to face anything. We don't want to do nothing. Please send somebody else, Lord Jesus. It's good preaching, I tell you. There's a war going on, and there's a limited amount of people that are actually in this battle in the church world. Very limited amount that are actually in the battle. There's really a limited amount of people that are combat hardened enough to be able to deal with some of these things. God can't send you into a battle. It wouldn't do him any good to send you into something you can't do anyhow. Why ask you to pray when you can't pray and take care of yourself? Are you going to take care of somebody else? Now look, I'm not saying this to knock anybody. These are the questions that I ask myself. See, I see people all the time. They're praying about things But they can't fix things of their own, but they're praying about somebody else's stuff. Now, you think that's going to work? See, this is what I do. Say, Lord, I can't fix my stuff. Don't do me much good. I better get my stuff straightened out. And better get straightened out over here on this thing. I better. Why? So I got to get out of the ditch to get somebody else out of the ditch. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. See, I ask questions. See, when something ain't working. But we do this thing today. Now, look, we have good intent in what we do. We have very good intent. We want to help somebody else. But many of the times we do things that don't even help other people at all. We're the great, America Church is the great Band-Aid church. We're like our government. We put a Band-Aid on everything and don't fix nothing. Everything's got a Band-Aid on it. At least 10 of them. Band-Aid. Hey, we got to stop the bleeding. We got to stop that. We got to stop this. But the thing festers, and what it gets worse, because you put the Band-Aid on it and you don't take care of it and it gets infected and it just goes. After a while, the patient's dead. And it's like, we got to stop, say, hey, hold it. Number one, one of our biggest problems has been this. We don't bring God in on the thing. We're the great fixers. We need wisdom outside of what we're dealing with. If we're facing things, see, is that, I remember this when the Vietnam War came along. Do you realize how many years it took America all of a sudden to come to the place to learn how to fight that war? And then when they learned how to fight the war, by that time they were ready to get out of that war, and they went and turned around and just threw the towel in because the politicians were getting yelled at and screamed at. But we went into a war dealing with guerrilla warfare, and we knew nothing about that. We didn't know a thing. Our people were being trained for conventional warfare. We were trained, being trained for that. It wasn't until I went in the service 1967 when they were started to train in guerrilla warfare. Close combat. Situation, shooting, being in places where you can't see enemy, teaching. You ain't sitting around and aiming and shooting. You're just firing as many bullets into the area as you can because you can't see. So you get into a jungle area, you don't see everybody around you, but bullets come out. It's good to be firing ones back. That's why the weapons that they did, fast firing M16 rifle, was very quick. 3.6 seconds, it'll unload a clip. It was made for that purpose. It was in the bush, and it was good to have because you wanted to be able to shoot a lot. It wasn't about accuracy. It was shooting so much it scared the other guy to death. And when you got a company, you got a whole platoon of guys all of a sudden open and go, "Bruh!" I just like, whoa, hold it. What happened here? It's like, wow, that was a good thing. But see, I can relate that stuff to taking over the church today. It's like, if we're going to meet the enemy in combat, have we been trained for the combat? God has been working to do that in people, to ready the church. The church has been ignoring God. It's been ignoring God. We want to fight the warfare of the past. And it requires the wisdom of God. You know, Jesus is the general. You know what? He knows how to fight this war. He knows what to do in this war. He knows what makes this war. He can put us in a position to be able to stand in this war and deal with it. Because see, one of the things, if you can't, you're going to lose your joy. You can't be in a situation, you can't stay under conditions where you're always under attack all the time and keep your joy. You can't do that. It won't work. You got to have relief. See, it's just like when guys are military today, like they send them back to Afghanistan, they send them back to Iran. They kept dumping people back in and dumping people back in and dumping people back. And they kept them into combat all the time. And what happens? You just wear somebody out there under conditions all the time where the enemy's always oppressing, 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 and you don't get breaks. You don't get breaks. And then there's stupid military, the guys in the Pentagon who have the brain of about the size of a BB rolling around, any as big as a pea, rolling around up there, and they come up with all these psychological ideas to how you help these guys out. See, we're wondering why we have so many burnout guys. So many guys that are burnt out, they come back and they can't handle stuff. They're just under pressure. You put somebody, you break them after a while. So our thing is this, is let's take money after we first, you know, if we didn't break their bodies, we destroyed their mind. And then now we'll collect money to take care of them while they're here. And they're broken. And sometimes, naturally, it's impossible to fix. There's no way natural to fix it. You can send all the money and doing, but the man's broken. And we say, we're supporting them. We need to support them by getting rid of 90% of our Congress. It's like, I'm big on the thing. You know, 15 minutes in office is plenty. Paid $2, that's overpay. It's like, see, we need to look at people, see what's the problem is. Well, in the church world too, Christians are beat up. Christians have been preached about the glory, but they don't know how to get it. The preachers kept telling them, if you just keep giving offerings, it's all going to work out. Keep sending your checks, it'll all work out. It ain't worked out. Hallelujah. But see, we need to go back to principles. There's principles and things that we know here that we are taught of the Word of God. Some of us from far beyond before this church started heard principles and things. And those principles have gotten, you get away from it. One thing was, I was in the military. There were certain things, the basics they always took you to. It's like they do in sports. They'll always tell you, if things aren't working, you go back. Because there's certain basic principles about things that you must have and you must do to succeed. You have to have them. There's certain things. It's like economics. It's like today, their idea of trying to fix the economy, I can tell them that they're doing things. It's impossible to fix the economy the way they're trying to do it. And if the Democrats and the Republicans, it's impossible to fix it. Why? Because there are economic principles that have been established and proven that you must follow to make things work. And we don't do them today. You know, we got printing presses in Washington that has become the fix of every problem. And has been as much for the Republicans as it has for the Democrats. You get the printing. Just print some more money. Just throw money. Money becomes the things that you throw at. We don't know. The government don't know how to do the things to really make money. They know how to take money. They don't know how to do it. They don't know the principles of it. And so I'm saying all these things. It's not to be critical, but we need to look at it. There are keys. Just like God gave keys to the kingdom. Number one, let's accept our responsibility in the earth here. Let's accept our responsibility. Now, God would not have given you the keys if he hasn't given you, it wouldn't do any good to give you the keys to something where you neither have the authority nor the power to deal with it. Number one, you need power. You need to understand this. When we deal with authority, we're also dealing with the subject of power. Authority is no good without power. You know, it's like our nation. It wouldn't do any good to have the authority. What if Congress had the authority to declare war, but we didn't have an army? Who cares? You see, today we do this thing, we don't understand that there's a requirement of power. So if God gives authority, there must be power to back up this authority, or it isn't valid. The key, it's like having a key to your home and you can't protect your home. Well, the crook, you know, any sensible crook isn't looking for the house where the guy has the gun. That's not where they're looking for. Hey, this guy has a gun and he practices at the range. Let's break into his home. Let's go down there and visit him. No, they look for whatever they believe is an easy target they can get in where they, why? Because they don't want to meet power. They don't want to meet power. There's a need for power. See, when the church, in dealing on the side of the church, when the church becomes, and we see powerless church, the church can't be just talking good principles. It can't be that. It has to have power. It has to be able to have the power to live it, to walk it, to do it. Telling people that God can do wonderful things and nobody ever sees God do any wonderful things? Who cares? Sit around and talk all you want. See, there's a lot of people out here, they've given up. They've heard all the messages. Ministers have lost the ability to demonstrate power because of what is preached. What is preached can't bring power. Most of it is our faith in dealing. We want to look at, because what the Lord wanted me to talk about this morning, we want to look at on this area, because there is a need for power, and we need to see, and its availability is, number one, we as the church world, we need to walk by faith. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's what you do. Your faith is in your doing. Your faith isn't just in your believing. People believe stuff all the time, and they even believe the correct thing, but they do not do that. They are believing the right. It produces nothing. James says, faith without works, or faith without corresponding action. It is a dead faith. It does not produce. But see, faith requires power to bring something to pass. So power must be involved. My faith must be tied to power. And see, this is where we got to get our thinking and come back. See, we were taught this stuff years ago. This faith-power stuff. Faith and power are tied together. Faith and no power, there's definitely something missing. There's something missing. Faith and power. And the key and the tie to it, what is it? We want to know, we want to find out. And really, we can have all the right principles, but somehow there's been a disconnect in some things. Somehow we know certain things, and they are right what we know, but somehow over time we've lost the connection, which it's just like having, you can have a cord plugged in here and an extension cord, and it runs out to here, but you still got to plug into that, to whatever it is. You got to, somehow it seems the cords have gotten unplugged along the way. We can stop and say, we got all the cords, we got the machine, and that's it. Why isn't this working? Well, until they're hooked together, it requires things hooked together. And there's things that we know that we have revelation from God on, but we need to bring them back and plug them in together again. We need to hook them up because we want them to work. It's a desire. If Christianity ain't going to work, I ain't got time for this. There's too much going on in life to mess around with what ain't working. Just be church, be, yeah, Christians, and we're going to heaven. It's like, well, let's leave today. Just, what's the point? You know, if I have to stay any longer, good grief. I came up to this conclusion of why people are going to say in the end times, yeah, we heard that before from the Father. It's going to be the people sitting in the church and say, Pastor, you've been saying he's been coming back, and he ain't even look like anything's happened. You've been talking about this, and you know what? We're fed up of hearing about God. We don't see Him. He don't ever show up. It's all talk about God. And you know what? While people say, well, that's enough, it's enough, man. People need to have something in their life. They have to. We have to have something in our life. It can't be just talk. It can't be. It's not enough. Because what happens is, like today, we're seeing problems mounting and mounting. We're coming to an end of an age, and it's like in our nation, we're seeing a great divide. And this is the thing is, you know, people are afraid. Because from the side of the people that want to do right, they're looking over here and they say, my God, evil's growing up and evil's growing up. And we're sitting over here on this side, and they've told us all this stuff, but it ain't worked. It hasn't. What is going on down here? They can't see past that thing over there, that mounting stuff that's coming up on there. And see, if you can't see past being led by the Holy Spirit, they don't know about that. You're just trying to be, they've been taught psychology in the church. There's a lot of today is teaching on the areas of finances in the church and money about giving. It's all psychological teaching. There's no faith to it at all. It's the psychology of giving. It's not the word of God on blessing. It's the psychology, and they have learned how to psychologically manipulate people. You can do that for a time, but if there is not a payday, somebody's going to quit. People will run to the thing and say, hey, hold it. You told me this and you told, it has not worked. I've done it. I've done what you said. I've listened to what you said. But see, people weren't taught the word. They weren't taught how to stay. They were taught the psychology of how to get your money into my pocket. I have a vision and it's your job to fill my pocket with money for my vision. That's God. And then the minister stands there and talks about faith in God, and he has none. His psychology is his faith toward the people to take care of him. Hallelujah. Folks, there's got to be something better than that. Hallelujah. Anyhow, what we're going to look at this morning, because we talked about this thing with Peter. We went on and we found in the book of Matthew in 18 also Jesus mentioned about, again, about the principle of whatever we bind and loose. And he also went on to where two agree is by touching anything. What I want to look at today, we're going to go to John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel of John, I may mention about the Gospel of John, if you go over and read the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapters, I would advise you to take those and read those chapters and meditate on things. Because see, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit there. He talked about his works, how to do it. He went in there and he talked about prayer. He talked about powerful things that are keys to the operation of the kingdom. He spoke to his disciples because why? There was a change coming. It wasn't going to be the same anymore. The way they operated before was not going to be operating the same. They were going to operate differently, and he's telling them the operation and the difference between the two. Now, I want to look at 14. Jesus made this statement in John 14. Here's what I want you to see. In John 14, and starts at verse 12, this is Jesus Christ himself talking. So he's talking here. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. So who is he speaking to? He who believes in me. This is not the apostles. He is saying it where they're at. But who's he discussing here when he's saying, he who believes in me. Do you see that? Does it qualify you? Yeah, it does. See, you need to come to this. This is God. Jesus said, I don't say anything that the Father don't say. This is Jesus Christ talking directly to you and me. We're believers, aren't we? Okay. This is to you and me. This is not to some, you and I. The works that I do, the one who believes. That's the he. So you believe he, this one, that the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. So he's talking about his leaving. When Jesus left this earth, something set in motion and began to change. Jesus said, when I'm leaving now, the people who believe in me, the works that I do. Now, we must keep this. This is one of the things the church learn to listen to what the Bible says. This is not talking about prayer here. This is discussing works. This is the works Jesus did. People pull this out of context and drag it over to prayer. It's not talking about prayer. It's talking about works. Because we're going to talk about both sides. We're going to talk about prayer. We're talking about because Jesus, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, but Jesus Christ is the key to the operation of the kingdom. He's the major key. He is. He's the Messiah. See, this is why in the church world, we have lost the emphasis of Jesus Christ in the church. We have a gospel to preach and I say, oh, Jesus, they tell nice things he did. He died for his sin. But we need to understand that Jesus is a key to everything that works within the key of the kingdom. When Jesus made mention of the prayer where two agree, he said, if you're gathered together, he said, in my name, I'm in the midst. His name, when his name is used, it's just as if he himself is there. He's not talking about going to church. See, we take that out of context. We tell a church service, it says when two or three are gathered, he's there. That isn't at all, has nothing to do with that. Don't have a thing in the world to do with that. But the church, we got our little religious ideas and stuff, and we make a gospel that is not preached in the Bible, but it's men's ideas. Here he's talking about works, and you need to understand this. Here he's talking about works. And he said on this thing of works, The person he said would do the works. So I'm settled on this fact. But you have to settle this for yourself. See, we will really emphasize this in when I come into the kingdom. See, we do the works of Jesus. See, and we would go around saying, I do the works of Jesus, man. Do you talk like that? Well, I'm believing God to do this, and I'm believing God. Totally unscriptural. Jesus declared I would do his works. So Ed's going to do them. That's it. I do the works of Jesus. Why? Jesus said I would. You see, we've left faith. We have a thing we call faith, but it ain't Bible faith. It's in belief in what we think it says, not what actual words are stating. Jesus said that I would do his works. I'm a believer. Every believer, there's no such thing. The works of Jesus are not for preachers. Did he say that here? These signs, you know, this is what's going on. Surely I say to you, preachers will do my works. Pastors will do my works. And the rest of the people, well, good luck. Best of luck in whatever you're doing. No. The church has delegated these things, but God never delegated them to the ministry. The people did. And the people wonder why things don't work for them. They're not going to work for them because they have not taken the responsibility of what's delegated. See, when I was a kid, we come in the kingdom, we just thought you were going to do it. I was so stupid. I listened to kind of thing and teacher just thinking, I was in my bedroom by myself, just a baby Christian, and praise God, I do the works of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, in Matthew, the 11th chapter, John the Baptist sent his guys to Jesus, and he said, hey, we see your works. Are you the guy, the one that's sent? Are you the one? Am I supposed to expect another guy to come? And Jesus said, yeah, he saw the works. And Jesus went through to tell his works. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, all these. That's the works of Jesus. Now today, this is the works of Jesus. You just feed poor people and give them clothes and buy them cars and houses and lands. That's the works of Jesus. Now, we don't see any of that in the Bible, but that's the works of Jesus. You love people because you do that. Why? Because we have no power. All we have is money to buy stuff. We can't do the power thing and have no faith for it. So, get your checkbook out. We're going to do as best as we can on this deal, and we'll say this is the love of God reaching to you. God is limited to food and clothing. That's it. That's all we got. That's all the church has to offer. We'll pay your rent. And maybe they'll help you buy drugs if you need them. If you ain't got enough money for booze, we'll throw some cash in there so you can go buy some. Try to keep everybody happy, you know. Because we're loving. See, Christianity has left power. Now, there's nothing matter with doing those things, but we went to what we could do. We left power. God gave us authority, and our authority is backed up with power. But when we don't walk in our authority, there is not going to be any power and demonstration. It will not happen. It won't happen. So we need to, this is one of the things we need to understand. We need to get these things. So he said, Jesus said, 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now listen what he said. Now he's talking about works here. This is not. Number one, you will never find in the scriptures that we pray to Jesus. You do not find that in scripture. You don't pray to Jesus. Jesus never told you to pray to him. This thing is not about prayer. This is about using the name of Jesus for works. We'll show you. We'll demonstrate in these things, he said. Now listen to what he said. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that they'll glorify. Now he's talking about works, when you're doing a work. He's not talking about praying. You know, see, we have this idea of praying for sick. They didn't do that in the New Testament. They didn't pray like we do. They commanded people to be healed in the name of Jesus. You know, you only see, like the Apostle Paul says, that he prayed for the people on the Isle of Miletus. He prayed for the people there. But that's the only, they mentioned in prayer. They didn't pray for people. They used the name of Jesus. They commanded. See, we need to understand this. Verse 14, if you ask anything my name, I will do it. He's talking about doing his work. This is concerning his works. Now, when we go to ask, this is what the Lord wants you to get on this fact. The statement of Jesus made here concerning asking. And the Lord said this to me, we're dealing with a problem in the church world because of the terminology ask. Because people think about asking that we're asking God and then we're waiting for His response. Is He going to say okay or no? See, most of the church world believes that, or they would never say things like, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. This is not talking about asking Him or a permission for Him to find out if He's going to do it. Because it could not mean that because of what He said here. Listen what He said here concerning His works. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So we could not be trying to find out if He wants to do it. That can't be the reason why you're asking. You're asking Him to do what He said He was going to do. Let's just put it this way. Let's say, dear Alan. Alan came to me and he's going to ask me a question about something that we have not discussed or know about or anything. So when he comes and he asks me something, he's asking to find out the information from me about whatever the subject is. That's the way the average Christian prays. They pray like they're asking they don't know. When the Bible already states God's will. Jesus' will is already to do His works. He said, the guy who believes in me, I'm going to do it. You just ask me. He's talking about his. Now, let's say Alan and I have discussed something and he asked me about or say to help him to do a thing. Now, I said to him, hey, whenever you're ready to do that, let me know. So he comes and asks me. Is he asking to try to find out if I want to do that or not? See, this is the failure even of Christians in their prayer lives. Christians' prayer lives are full of unbelief. Well, I'm praying and believing. Well, what do you mean you're praying and believing? You were supposed to receive. God already gave His will on it. Why don't you acting like He said yes? See, we sing this song. Yes. I know that I'm blessed. Yes. We sing that stuff. And then get into our prayer closet and we're Mr. and Mrs. Unbelief. We're praying and wondering if God's going to do something. Now understand, we're talking about the prayer of faith that has to do with our lives. You can't dump this on everybody else. You can't make it happen for everybody else. Now we need to talk about this because here, praying and ministering to people, one of the things that we need to do, God wants to demonstrate to the world His goodness. The church is the carrier of faith. We're the people who are supposed to know the gospel. We're the initiators. We're the initiators of the work of Jesus. The world's not. The signs follow the believer. The signs don't follow the world. They follow. We'll talk about that. So we need to understand this, that Jesus said we were supposed to. He said, whatever you ask. Now, He said this in my name. Now, I want you to look at Acts, the third chapter. We want to look at Acts, the third chapter. He'll be helpful to you in looking at this because of the things that are said here. Acts, the third chapter. Now, I'm going to start at verse 3. This is a very familiar thing that you guys have heard before in Scripture. It's the guy at the gate beautiful. He's asking alms and things. He's here. He wants something. Now, we're going to start at verse 3. We're not going to read the whole thing. But it says, this guy who, in verse 3 says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He's asked for money. He wants it. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, did he pray for him there? No. What did he do? He's doing the works of Jesus. He made a command concerning the name. I'm going to get this. He made a command concerning the name. Now, understand, we don't use the name of Jesus to force God to do anything. You're not trying to force God. Jesus already said he wants to do it. Why would I have to force him? See, this is speaking to whatever the situation. This is about speaking. A demand or command is based upon whatever. In other words, sickness is dealing that. The use of the name is toward the sickness. It's not toward God. You're not trying to force God to do a thing. He's already said, Jesus said what he wants to do. I don't have to force Jesus to heal somebody. Somebody's got to believe something. And it's concerning the name. He said what? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he said, rise up and walk. In other words, in that name you rise and walk. And it says, verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God. Now what I want you to see is the people needed an explanation. What happened here? We're not going to read all through it, but I want you to go to verse 16 because of the revelation that's in verse 16. Is the revelation something we need to go? You may have heard it before, but you need refreshed in this. God told me to refresh. We need refresh back in this. Listen what Peter made the statement to the people why it happened in verse 16. And his name, what was that? The name of Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of us all. In other words, that name was not only the authority to heal, that name was the power to heal. The healing is in the name. That name is the power to heal in it itself. He just said so. This man's ankles, he got strong again because of the name. The name gave the man power, faith in the name. And see, we have lost that. The name of Jesus has just become a tacked on thing to stuff. It is not used and understood in its power. See, this name was given to the church dealing with the authority that we have through the name of Jesus. Because you believe in him, you have been given authority to heal the sick. You've been given authority, and the name is the power that heals them. Not you. It's not faith. What we have done in the faith, we want to pray right and in line with the word, but people have so worked meticulously and trying to say all the right things, but don't have faith in what makes it happen. It's faith in who makes that. You don't heal them because you made a really nice quote or you had a really, it's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not only the authority, but it is the power that heals. In that name, as a believer, you believed on that name. It puts you into the kingdom of God, and now you have been delegated authority by God in the use of that name. That name is given to the church. That name. See, the Bible tells us there's salvation under no other name. The power of salvation. The Holy Ghost moves with the power of that name. Faith in that name is what makes things work. Faith in the name. See, that name, Jesus said, and we read this, the statement that Jesus read. Listen to this. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Do you hear that? Whatever you ask. See, we need to meditate on this till this becomes real and true to us. Is it true? See, we can verify the fact that it is true, but do we really have the faith? Shall I tell you what? You can know when you come up to the faith place, you'll want to act on it. And until you want to act on it, you ain't at the place that you can say, well, yeah, I believe it's true. It's faith in the name. The name. The name is the power to bring it to pass. It's in the name. That's why we have to have faith in the name. See, Peter said, that guy's made strong. It was faith in that name made this thing work. It was faith in that name at what made this thing happen. See, We need to come back to the simplicity of Christianity and back into the simplicity. We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's hardly mentioning it. It's more about our what we believe and what we think. And we have left it. Jesus is the key that makes this thing work. He's the power. The Holy Spirit is completely submissive to Jesus in that name. We find out, we go over to look at the areas of prayer. We're going to find out when Jesus talked about prayer. The Father God doesn't answer prayer except in that name. See, we think because we just ask for something that we wanted, we neither use our authority nor do we use the power. In the name of Jesus, I know God will respond to me because of that name. Because if he doesn't, the Bible's a lie. And any man that comes along, sometimes God says yes or sometimes God says no. He's a liar. He's a liar. I have a choice. Either Jesus lied or he lied. Go ahead and make your pick. Most of the church has picked wrong. Most of the church world has picked wrong. This is what the Lord showed me. I just want to say this by the Holy Spirit here and now. The average Christian has a very low expectation of ever getting their prayers answered. Has a very low expectation. We have these statements that are so awesome in the Word. These statements that are made that, I mean, they should just blow the socks off of us when we think was made. That are guaranteeing us answers. And yet we're sitting in a world, really, where unbelief is running rampant to its truth. See, we need to come back to the place, you know. I don't know. It's like Mike's talked about you repenting. I know where he's coming from. I've had to do a lot of that. Say, Lord, I've been talking to the Lord about this, Lord. I know it on this page. That is surely true. But I can see. I haven't been walking in the fullness of that. See, I can look at pages. I can say things. We can talk and maybe convince each other of some things. But you convince the devil, you convince sickness and disease, and you convince something else. Let me know. Oh, hallelujah. Well, learn to laugh at yourself. Glory to God. But he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we find out about that name. And in his name and through faith in his name has made this man strong. Faith in the name. The power to make that man strong was faith in the name of Jesus. See, there is no authority if that name isn't what it says it is. If there's no power behind the name, what are we going to do? Who cares what authority you were given? Who cares? Don't matter. To be given authority and have no power is a worthless thing. If you can't back up, you know, it's like today, we have laws that give authority to deal with our border, but the courts will not give authority to it. Will not give power to it. They won't back it up. The courts keep saying, yeah, no, we're not going to do it. So why? It don't get policed. The courts turn the power off to the laws. The law says, hey, we have the authority to do it. We don't need another vote on another thing. We don't need something else. We have that. We already have it. Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. If there's not power going to be behind it, who cares what the statement is made? It is a worthless statement. Now, I have to understand this, and you're going to have to. You're going to be the judge of your things, whether you believe or not. We're not going to. You don't have to send this to the court or ask the Supreme Court if it's okay if you believe these things that are said. You don't have to ask them that. You and I become the judge of whether or not we believe that the name of Jesus is the authority and the power to back up these words. Does he have the authority? He said, all authority in heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and earth. Now, I want to see. Now, this is dealing. We're talking here. This is about the use in works. Now, go to Mark 16. Very familiar. And we've talked about this before, but I want you to see this. This, again, we're dealing with works, not prayer. This is works. The dealing with works. Is the authority and the power in the name of Jesus concerning the works of Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Let me say, anybody ever says this is always talking about he who believes and is baptized. Well, he's talking about water baptism. I don't believe he is because of this. You can believe on Jesus but not receive Him, and you're not baptized into the body of Christ. I can lead you to people today who definitely believe Jesus is Lord. They definitely believe. They won't receive Him. They don't want to do that. They don't want to. We had a guy tell us one time at recess. Yeah, he believed Jesus. He believed he needed to accept Jesus, but he said, "I don't want to change my lifestyle. I like the way I like my lifestyle." Well, he believed. See, we got this nonsense today in church. Well, so and so believes in Jesus, so he's saved. Well, good luck on that. We'll check his life out and find out what he believes. See, a person must get baptized into the body. Salvation is being baptized into Christ, not baptized in water. It's baptized into Christ. See, when I believed on Jesus, I received Him and I got baptized into the body. And I had what took place, what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians. I became a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know what? I didn't take a dunk in baptism for almost 2 years till I was baptized. I guess I wasn't really saved, huh? I was speaking in tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and they were getting healed. But I wasn't baptized in water. And so some groups, you know, I wasn't saved yet. You got to get baptized in water to get saved. There's a lot of strange out there. Anyhow, but look what he says. This is what Jesus goes on. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In other words, signs, or we could put down are these works. This is what's going to follow these people. Here's what follows. In my name. Now, these things, these are signs, these are things that happen in His name. In other words, He is now authorizing to go preach the gospel, and because in this gospel, the believers are going to do these things. This is what happened. And how are they going to do it? In His name. These things happen under the authority and the power of His name. These signs of Father, in my name, they will cast out demons. See, you don't have to, you're not called to the ministry to cast out demons. You already have. Jesus just authorized. Are you a believer? Said these signs are going to follow the ones that believe the gospel. Is there anybody here, you don't believe the gospel today? You didn't believe it. You never accepted Jesus. We'll have an altar call because we want you to. But if you have, you're already called to this ministry. You're called to the devil casting out ministry. That is what you're called to. You're a believer. It is just normal that every believer would be able to cast out demons. You don't need to have a special something or other. You have the special something or other, and that's called the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You have been baptized into Christ, therefore you are authorized to do it, and the name is the power to carry it out. It's always interesting. I've heard people in dealing with demons already stories that people have told. I remember Pop Goodman told about a demon. He found out there's a demon in his church was operating, and it was so hard to preach. And he got fasting and praying. He asked God, what is going on? Something happened. Found out there was this demon operating. And he got over praying and saw in the spirit realm and saw this demon. And he told this demon to come down. It was up in a ceiling area above the pulpit. And he commanded it to come down. And he said, you know, he commanded it. It didn't move till he said, in the name of Jesus. And then it came down. And he told it to get out of here, get out of the church. And he said, turned around and looked at him. And he said, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. And then it started moving. You see, the authority is in the name of Jesus, but the power to back it up is in that name. Through faith in that name. You see that? Through faith in that name. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this. It isn't the devil scared of you, but he's scared of Jesus. Jesus is the one that whooped him. And when you use that name, remember over there it said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. See, that name. See, Jesus showed up. Jesus is there if the name is believed and used. It's as if Jesus Christ Himself has appeared. Now, you don't have to see Him. You don't need to see Him. But the devil knows. The devil knows. When that name is used, it's just as if Jesus Christ is there. He must obey Him. See, folks, we have this Christianity and this faith that really is a lone gun faith. It's trying to make things work. Like we're trying to impress Jesus. I'm going to tell you, He's the gunslinger. In His name, He's there with us. We're never alone. We talk about Him in His, but He's with, in His name, He's with me. In His name. When I speak His name, it's just as if He Himself is standing there. His power and His glory is right there. See, the church got to bring Jesus back into church again. We got to bring Jesus back to the church. That's why the church at Laodicea, he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. See, they're living off of, we got a good church, we got a lot of money, this is proof. This is proof we're following God. Everything looks good. Jesus is standing outside the door. I'll tell you one thing they didn't have. He didn't mention about the power gifts in work in their church. He didn't talk about manifestations of, no, they got a look good church. Today, that's the most important thing on the list is the look good church. That's the one. The one that has the most seats and the most this and that and the most thing. But, well, let's have the qualifications of Jesus in the church. Well, we'll just forget that one. Let's go over to this. We got this and we got that. We want Jesus back in the church world again. We want the power of God in demonstration. And it is through faith in that name. Faith in that name. You see, we cast out, it says, they will speak with new tongues. Now that word tongues there, that's not talking about just speaking language. That word tongues there means a naturally unacquired language. In other words, not a taught language. It's talking about speaking in tongues. That word does not mean this is some known language. It's not. So in other words, people can talk, in the name of Jesus, the Christian has the authority to speak in new tongues. They have the authority to do it and the power to do it. So we can tell people they get saved in the name of Jesus. They can speak a new tongue. They can do it. Faith in the name. We go on here. It says they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Now we need to understand the importance of the power of these things here. See, we're dealing with the areas. You know, the Apostle Paul got bit by a snake. Said in Miletus, he shook it off and shook it off in the fire. They thought he was going to die. They said he must have done some kind of really bad sin that he got bit by this snake. And then when he didn't die, they said, my God, he must be a god. You see, there is protection. Now, there's one thing. You don't go into the handling snake stuff business. We learned from Jesus. Jesus, even though Jesus that says, you know, if he stumbled, you know, the angels would, you know, take care of him. The devil tried to get him jump off the top of the temple. He said, you don't tempt God. We don't go handling snakes. We don't go drink poison. But see, we need to understand this because of eating. This is why we sanctify and pray over our food in the name of Jesus. We shouldn't be eating food and getting sick all the time. We shouldn't be going through all the stuff that the world goes through. See, we operate in the faith. You can't sit around. I'm just sorry. No matter how well they want to do about how to take care of food and what to do, I'm sorry. Ain't no system ever runs perfect. And there's one thing is I know people are involved. And good Lord, you check around the average person. I mean, you think about the average person, what they do. And you think about in restaurants, what people might do. And food handling and processing places. I'll tell you what, it walks by faith and not by sight. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of scumbags out there that'll do all kinds of things, but you know what? They ain't killing Ed. Right. Why? Ed ain't no big deal. But the name of Jesus is a big deal. And it has the power to protect me. It has given me the authority to declare protection and also the power to back it up. Amen. See, it's through faith in the name. Again, faith in the name. Do you believe that name is what it is? See, we were taught and started off. Remember in those days about the faith in the name of Jesus? Man, it's declared in Him. It can't go wrong. He said so. See, we minimize Jesus. We minimize all faith. We minimize the whole gospel. We minimize everything. Everything about Christianity, none of it has any strength if we minimize what Jesus said. Did Jesus say these things right? Did He just try to tell these disciples, I'm going to say some really good stuff because, see, I'm going to die and they're going to have a hard time. So I'm going to say these things to them and try to build them up. I know how to use psychology. You know, I'm lying for their good. Just trying to help them, you know. I'm lying to them for their own good. Because poor Peter's going to go through a bad time. So I'm going to lie about how this thing works. Because I'm going to make them feel good. These things are true. Then Jesus went on to say, and he told him, he said, these believers, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now you notice he didn't say they're going to all get instantly healed. Do you notice he did that? He said, you know, you can guarantee people that they will recover if they'll believe. So you get, I've learned to use this. I did it with my father-in-law. The Lord had me do it, because he was an unbeliever and he was in the hospital for an operation. He had a tumor, cancerous tumor. It turned out it was about the size of a football. It was in, and it was in, touching his kidney and his liver. It was in that area. And, the Lord told me to do something. He said, go in. Now, he had no faith at all in this. But see, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you go in and you pray for him, anoint him with oil. And I said to the Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But I said, Lord, I'm going to ask his permission. If he doesn't want it done, I ain't going to forcibly do it to him. The Lord said, go ahead and do it. So anyhow, I went in and talked to him and said to him about it. And then he said to me, I don't believe that. Now, he's an unbeliever. See, he didn't believe it. But he said, you believe it. He said, so you go ahead and do that. So I anointed him with oil. Now, he was in and operated on him, and I was there after the doctor come in the room, and that's how they brought him back to his room, and they brought him into the room. And the doctor said, this is an absolute miracle. He said, that tumor that he has, he said, we have no record of that type of tumor, that everything it touches, it grows into in the body. And he said, the only thing that it grew into, he said, was the kidney. He said, it did. He said, it peeled right off the liver. He said, I've never seen anything like that. And he said, now he lost his one kidney, but he said his other kidney's fine. He said, that's no problem at all. It's not going to be anything at all. And the doctor even admitted, he said, man, I remember he looked at my father-in-law. He said, somebody upstairs likes you. Because basically, he'd have been a dead man. That's what he would have been. But I went in and anointed him in the name of the Lord. See, and the authority of that name did that. It gave me the authority to do that, but also. So you can't forcibly pray, you know, pray for people. But we need to understand in praying, this stuff works. What Jesus said to do, we need to carry. We need to, see, one thing is we need to preach the gospel and tell people. See, lots of times what we're doing is we're not telling anybody anything. We're trying to go through the prayer thing. We're trying to go through all this stuff and we say about praying people. But people need to hear something. See, he told the disciples, see, believers are made up of when the gospel preach. They don't get to be believers any other way. You must hear the gospel. People become believers. And so it's number one, it's just like an evangelist. An evangelist in an evangelistic service is going to be magnifying Jesus. Because if he's going to minister in any areas of the miracles, that's where they're going to happen and that's where they're going to take place, is in that name. You're dealing with, so when you're dealing with sinners, you want to be preaching. The emphasis has to be the name. There's salvation in no other. See, we get people, many people today never get saved. And Christians run around talking about them being saved. And they never got saved. All they believe is something about forgiveness of sin. They don't even come in for salvation. They come in and they think because they ask Jesus to forgive them their sins that they're saved. They never got born again. They've never believed on Jesus. They just think, well, yeah, Jesus did this. They've never. We get saved through confessing the Lordship of Jesus, confessing the name. There's no other name under heaven. But see, this is what happens when you leave the Word and you start minimizing the Word and you start taking, Jesus said he would do this. Well, this is what he really meant. You know, and they'll go on and throw their little things in. And after a while, they minimize it and there's nobody has any hope of anything's going to take place. They would like to. All kinds of people would like to. Christians sitting in a pew would like to be healed and don't even know they are. They're still trying to get something that's already was given to them. They're sitting there, well, waiting for God to do something about it. Wondering, what's the reason? Why, you know, did maybe God has a reason for keeping it. If over the years, if the things that I've heard people come and say, well, God has a reason for holding it back from me. God has a reason for this. There's a reason. You know, I was just reading a thing. Alyssa and Ember were down where the Star Barn thing was, the other thing, and they gave a thing, and I was reading some things there, like some of the prayers like Abraham Lincoln, and I thought about it with Abraham Lincoln. He thought it was God's will that the reason the war continued on, it was God was trying to work something out. And he did not understand, but I want you to understand about this man. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. But you know, Abraham Lincoln was walking in the knowledge that he has. And I want you to tell you this. We won't win this war in these last days walking in that knowledge. You ain't going to win no war. If you don't know if it's God's will to have the war or not have the war, forget the praying. We're over there. I want you to think about this. This is why we need to clear up our minds. The Southerners were praying in the Civil War. They were praying for God on their side to win the war. And the North was praying for God to win the war on their side. Now, they're both praying. Was this about who was the strongest prayer of the bunch? See, it's one of the things it's dealing with is knowing the will of God. How many of you have prayed and God has talked to you about the Ukraine war? Anybody here, God talked to you about the Ukraine war? Do you pray for Ukraine at all? You think it's doing any good? You don't even know what God's will is. I'm not criticizing. I want us to think. Where are we at? See, the idea that we just want that war to stop ain't going to stop. Just because we don't like what Russia's doing. My God, the United States is a big reason why Russia's doing what it is. So we can't stand from this side and yell and point the finger. You know, didn't matter much Israel didn't like Nebuchadnezzar nor Babylon. They called him down there. They invited him in. They invited him to come down with their lifestyles and what they did. See, in the areas of faith, what can you do? Now, I want you to think about it, because see, I'll go over into that, okay. The Holy Spirit wants me to talk about some of this. It's like when I use the story about what happened with Hurricane Sandy. You see, I've learned over the years at times, and there's times that you can step in and do something, but you got to learn to listen in your spirit about what you can do, because you know, when we're praying for something for my personal need where other people aren't involved, I can ask for anything and get it. The Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches it. But see, this is one of the problems that we have in the church world about this, is because we've bunched that into everything about praying. When you're praying for national things and that's something, you can't use the prayer of faith. Other people, you can't force your will on the other guy. You can't make him do what you see, and this is all about other people and doing things. We aren't dealing with the devil. We're trying to fight people, using the word of God to fight people. We're not called to do that. My job isn't to make Putin do what I want. I have no authority given in Scripture to do that. Show me authority in Scripture that I just pray, God, make Putin do what I want. Have you been able to make Biden do what you want? How well has that one worked? If I had authority to do that, I'd be definitely meditating on that one until I got to my place where I'd straighten something out. But you can't. We need to know there's types of praying and things of influence that go on that we need to know, because we're dealing with other people. And there's other people pushing other ways. Do you understand that? We're dealing with demonic forces. We're dealing with all this stuff going on. And people are trying to push. And it's just like, and you can ask Wanda and Alyssa and them. When two times we were down at the shore, hurricanes, I've talked about this, hurricanes were coming up the coast. And everybody left. And I said, we ain't going. That hurricane's not coming here. I refuse to allow it. But see, there was a different spiritual atmosphere in America at that time. People weren't so opposed to Christianity like they are today. People in this nation and much of the church world is opposed to God. They're opposed to what's right and moral and good. A huge part of the church world goes with homosexuality and everything else. You know, Christians say around, you know, You know, you might be another sex. You know, next thing you know, you might be a chicken. You might be a horse. Who knows what you might be. But believe I've met some of these people, I believe it's true. But anyhow, whatever somebody might be, and so because God loves, therefore we tolerate and let it go on. Well, you forget your prayer life. Forget your prayer life. You will not have a bit of authority over any demon going along with demonic stuff. Well, see, and I learned that because when Hurricane Sandy come along, years later you're dealing with something and they're talking about the severity of that storm. And I'm concerned about people. Now, I knew it was going to be a big effect in our area, but I knew it was going to be a big effect in other areas. And that's when I went outside my house and I turned around and looked down toward the southeast and I spoke to that storm in the name of Jesus and I commanded it to go out into the ocean. I commanded it to, and for 2 days it moved off into the ocean. For 2 days. But God in His mercy, but it wasn't going to stop. It wasn't going to keep it. Inside of me, I kept getting something's wrong here, something's wrong. And you know, I didn't want to be Mr. Unbelief and say the wrong thing, you know, so you want to keep your confession. But I finally had to go with my heart and I said, Lord, there's something wrong here. What's going on? And He said this to me. I spoke this to Him, and see, this is one thing I learned a long time. Ask and you shall receive. Many times you don't get answers because you don't ask the right question or you never even ask a question. You just think because God knows He would tell you. There's a lot God's never going to speak to you till you ask Him. And I've learned this. I've learned this over the years. I've sat without answers for long periods of time till I asked a question. And when I finally got the right question, God in 2 seconds answered. You know, when I was sitting out here in the car and finally got myself over to the right place talking about what I was doing, He answered me just like that. I didn't tell you. Okay, that's it. He said nothing till I said something to Him about it. Ask and you shall receive. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you a thing. There's a lot of revelation that ain't in the church today, and it's not in the church because the church don't ask. They got all this, well, if God's will, He'll do this. If it's God's will, He'll do that. All that junk. The Bible tells you clearly, you got to ask, but hey, that was only Jesus talking. What does He know? But anyhow, I said to the Lord, Lord, what is going on with this storm? Why? What's happening here? And He said to me, you can't stop it. I said, and why? Because I want to know why. Don't you want to know why? I want to know why. He said, because even the Christians are calling it up here. Now, at first, I thought He meant by saying that they're making bad confessions that they're making. That wasn't at all. Which He told me later. He said, they're dirty lives. See, that's what happened to Israel. Went into the wilderness, their dirty lives. You can't keep them out of the way. See, it's coming. See, they're saying, why? They can't be. See, the forces, I can't stop the whole world. I can't save the whole world. I can't do that. Now, I can use my faith. For 2 days, God allowed my faith to hold that. People kept saying, man, we need to pray about that storm. I never prayed about that storm. I never pray about storms. Never. I never spend no time at all praying about storms or anything like that. Jesus never prayed about storms or anything. He spoke to them. Jesus never prayed about animate objects. He never did. You can pray and go that way. You talk to them. You speak to things. See, I've learned this over this year. There's years ago, there's lots of things that I could stop, weather-wise and things I could stop, and today I can't. And we need to understand why. Spiritual opposition in the church. Spiritual opposition in the church. The devil can't reign in the church, and you just make everything correct like you want. See, this takes labor. We got to be able to change things in the realm of the Spirit. And you're not going to do it just making a little confession. See, we need to understand this. We need to come back to basics again of what we can do. We need to come back. We need to come back to authority again. We need to come back to the church. The church has left these things in these areas that are within our hands and power to walk in. To do is come back to these things again. There needs to be, if we want to have a spiritual climate change in this nation, it is going to take some work concerning the spirit realm. You sit and fight people all you want and do things. But as long as people are pushing in directions and people are pushing, people who have authority in the church are using their authority to bring destruction because they're loving everybody. And people, and the majority of the church, even if they don't like it, don't do a thing about it because they don't do nothing spiritually. It's all complaint. They only pray what they see about on TV and what's ever happened and this bad thing. And we saw it in the news or we saw this in the online or we saw this here or on my Facebook. This came up and this. And we're led by the world in our prayer lives. What all these things are going on. And so we're responding by sight. We're responding by the hearing of the ear and the sight of the eye. We're responding to the problems. We can't go there. See, it doesn't. I looked at that storm and I knew about authority that I had, but I found out there was a gang up of people from the sinners to the saints that were going to make that thing. See, that thing was judgment. They brought judgment on themselves. Now they throw rocks at God. God said you can't stop the thing. It's down there coming up. It's destruction from the devil, but you can't stop it. They're calling to come up and destroy them. It's like Israel. Israel called Babylon in. Israel called Babylon in. God didn't. Israel called them in. By the way they lived and what they were doing, they called it in, that destruction in on themselves. God in His mercy relieved them in 70 years. But you know what? Israel deserved to be totally destroyed. But God in His kindness and mercy spared them and gave them their city back and gave them a nation back again and turned around and did it through the heathen king, Cyrus, a Persian and a Mede. And God turned around, prophesied. God prophesied some over 120 years before. God prophesied Cyrus in the Bible was going to turn around and do what he did over 100 years before that. God was going to already declare and show him mercy. God looking down the road at the sin of Israel and sees what's going to happen. And he said, I'm going to have mercy on him. I'm going to use this guy, Cyrus. I'm going to fix it. Amazing. But let me tell you what it required and brought those things in. Because there was a prophet who walked with God. His name was Jeremiah. And he prophesied the 70 years. God came upon him and he spoke about the 70 years. Daniel got his prophecy up in Babylon and Daniel took his prophecy and began to pray and ask God, what about the 70 years? What about? Because it became time for them to be released and he took the prophecy and he went before God and he prayed. See, we talk about prophecy today. We think we want to study prophecy. Prophecy is to be prayed. Not run around telling, get your charts out. Get your chart out, Christian entity, about what's going to happen in the end. Go get your chart out. Prophecy is about being prayed. God said He was going to do something. I have prophecy that I pull out. I have it laying on a table beside the thing. I pray. I can reach out and pull out prophecy. Lord, You said in Your words You're going to do. This is what You're going to do. This is what You said. Here's what You said. God spoke to me. In 1991, April 15, 1991, told me what He's going to do through this valley. I hold Him to it. And I'm holding Him to it. I say, look, You said this is supposed to come to pass. If it don't come to pass, you'd be a liar. If this don't happen, you're a liar. It has to come to pass. It's just like the words that Jesus said. Is Jesus' word in the book? Is He a liar? We haven't practiced it. But we hold Him as a liar. This ain't going to work. I ain't going to try to practice this thing. Well, hey, let's get over ourselves. Like we're saying, we had a big faith thing. You know, come on. It's true. But see, we need to stop, and that's when God's waiting for people to rise up and say, if this don't happen, what's the point in following God? All it is words in a book. Who cares? Is he to be feared who cannot do his word? Is he to be feared? We humble and pray and be scared of him? See, we got to decide, are his words what they say? Will he do? Is his name as big as they say it is? I want you to think about this today. What we'll talk about next week, we're going to talk about prayer, using the name in prayer. But see, we're talking about works today. Using that name of Jesus, the power in the works of Jesus and the demonstration, the authority and powers in that name. And are the words that Jesus said, were they really true? We have to decide that. Is that really the truth? Am I really called to this? See, we're going to have to change how we believe. We have a great expectation for ministers to do things and stuff. We have very low expectations of ourselves. Really low expectations concerning ourselves. That's for somebody else. I'm not called to the ministry. I'm sorry, you done were. You just refused to listen to the call. You know, that maybe that might be their things, why things ain't working for you. We refuse the ministry. I don't want that one. I don't want that. I don't want that ministry. That's too much. What are people going to think? See, this one thing, I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to get persecuted. And this is why people don't do it. We don't want people not to like us. And today, there is a big divide. And it's going to get in your face quick. It's going to be in your face really quick. See, I remember back when I got born again, the Lord dealt with me about getting born again. See, I had a different experience than most people because I was a questioner. I would ask God about this before I got born again. See, because I'm dealing with things. I'm not one of these jump in and go play something. If you ain't going to get in it, stay out of it. You know, it's like Christianity, the worst thing anybody, and I tell people this, don't get saved if you ain't in this thing. Because you'll end up in hell and under greater judgment than you ever thought you could be. The guy who knows and don't walk in it is in huge trouble. Big trouble. The guy that didn't know, the Bible says he has less stripes. Less punishment for the guy that didn't know. But the guy who don't play the Christianity game. I decided what to get into it, but I had a big decision. I had to decide because I was a persecutor of the church. Now, I didn't put anybody in prison. I didn't know what Paul did or any of that kind of stuff. I didn't do any of that. But gave Christians a hard time. And one of the reasons I could give Christians a hard time, because most of them didn't know their Bible. I knew more about their Bible than they did. And so you could give them a hard time. They didn't know nothing. I would give Christians a hard time. They'd come, you know, they'd have to watch, like, you know, nobody came to witness the end. You didn't witness to Ed. He was over. So, but notice the thing, I knew this because see, my life and the way I lived and the stuff that I did, I know with me telling, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do this. I was not going to be able to say I was a Christian and I was going to go to my old lifestyle. I knew I couldn't do that. I knew that would never. I had enough sense to know that Christianity was about a changed life. Now, I didn't know how this new birth thing worked. I just know I needed to accept Christ. I knew that. But I knew, you know, I got to set myself in, am I going to do it? And there's one thing, and I've told you this, folks, this before. The Lord said this to me one day, there's no such thing. This before I got saved. See, I love, the Holy Spirit never lied to me or told me a false gospel like I've heard preached sometimes from preachers. The Holy Spirit said this to me. There's no such thing as a closet Christian. See, Jesus said this. If you ain't going to confess me before men, I'm not confessing you before the Father. See, that's Bible. Only those things aren't preached today. They're not preached today because they don't meet the seeker-friendly thing, you know. And he said this to me. And I knew if I got saved, people are going to have to know. I'm going to have to do this. I knew it. I knew I wasn't going to be the silent Christian. I'll just be praying for people in the background and not let them know anything had happened. you know, I was a heathen and acted like a heathen. And so if we're going to change a life, it's going to be obvious there's going to be something different about it. Well, anyhow, I got saved and I went back to work and I started letting people know. And of course, that was a very, very difficult thing for people. They're like, oh my God. Yeah. It was funny, but there were some people were, wow, some change in him will be good. But there's some people, they didn't like it. See, you know what? You find out this in the world and even in the church world. A lot of people don't like you to succeed. They don't. It's amazing. It's amazing. But anyhow, so I got saved. But I found out this began to happen to me. Because number one, people began to see God working through me and things. I became very outspoken about what I believed. And see, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and stuff. And I didn't hide none of that stuff. And I got very outspoken. And so people started seeing things. And stuff started happening. I started having guys come to me and that stuff asking me. They were Christian guys. Came and asked me to pray for them about certain things. Well, that they would not go ask anybody in their group because they didn't believe like it did. And they knew I was a bit of a fanatic. And they would come. It's like one guy asked one time. He came to me and he said, he went to a Bible church that didn't believe most of the Bible. But they called themselves a Bible church. But he came to me and he said, I have a friend who's living down Virginia. He was in a car accident. And for over a year, he's been in a coma. He said, we were great friends in school and that stuff, but nothing's happened. And he said, they turned around and moved him up here to the medical center from down Virginia. I guess he thought, I guess, whatever they have up here that was different from down there. But they moved him up here. They asked him because they were really close friends when they were in school, very close friends. He said, sometimes there's certain things trigger a person, can bring a person out of a coma. And they said, we want you to come in and see him. And he had been in to see the guy and stuff. But anyhow, he said, I'm going in today at a certain time. They're having me come in again. So they're having me come in. He asked me, would you pray about this? So I said, sure. I said, I'll pray. So at lunchtime, I went downstairs in the locker room and I started praying. I'm down there praying. And the Lord said to me, you go up there and tell him when he goes over and he goes in that room, that guy's going to wake up and talk to him. Now, crazy Ed got to go tell him. But you know what? I was just crazy. I went down there and said, don't be concerned about your friend. I said, when you go over there, you're going to go in that room. You're going to talk to that guy and he's going to wake up. And the guy looked at me like, Now, see, he asked me to pray. See, because people asked you to pray don't mean at all they believe anything's going to happen. He asked me to pray because he wanted his friend to wake up. I told him God told me his friend was going to wake up. And he was like, oh, yeah. Well, the next day he came into work and he was just all smiles. He said, I went in the room and I started talking to him and he woke up. Now, these didn't happen. These things happened when I was a baby Christian. See, all this idea today, we got to come to this great place of faith and have all this knowledge. No, we got to come to a place where we're going to believe again. Where we're going to believe that this stuff is true. That God will do what he said he would do. The words in the book are true. And the name of Jesus is every bit that it says it is. It holds as much authority and power that God said it does. It has all the power of the throne of God and all the authority of the throne of God. Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth. In heaven, there is no authority Jesus Christ does not have. All of heaven's authority is behind his name. Every bit of it. All the power of heaven, all the power that heaven has is behind that name. Oh, we talk about, oh, look at creation and all that God did and all that stuff. That is nothing but spit compared to all the authority that Jesus had. Creation was nothing compared to the glory of the resurrection. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And in the authority of that name, that power works. All the authority. See, the church ain't dealing with an authority problem nor a power problem. We're dealing with a faith and what the Word says about it problem. We're dealing with our perspective. We are believing on the basis of the eye sees and the ear hears to what's going on in the natural. That's our problem. That's the problem. We are not trying to ask God to do something to find out if He wants to do it. We are commanded to do it. Jesus told us to do these things. We are authorized to the works of Jesus. He wants to do them. We're not trying to see if He wants to do it. We're supposed to be telling people, yes, He does. We're supposed to be telling people, yes, Jesus wants to heal you. That's exactly what He wants to do. We're not saying, well, no, we want to pray and find out and see. Because surely seeing is believing. Well, you know, sometimes He does and sometimes He don't. We got to drive this stuff out of ourselves. Because we need to understand, it doesn't hinder us first in ministering to people. It hinders in God being able to minister to us. That's where it starts first. Because we can't believe for ourselves. We should be so settled on the fact, my God, if there's anybody in the house He's going to heal, it's going to be me. If anybody in the house He's going to bless, it's going to be me. If He's going to do for anybody in this place, it's going to be for me. Because I have the authority in the name of Jesus and I have the name to back it up. He'll do it for me. See, we need to become convinced. We need to just get convinced. And it happens. Begin to meditate on these things. Make these things real to us again. Make them to ourselves. That stuff is real. Say to it, hallelujah. I'll do the works of Jesus. I'm not going to do them. I do them. I'll do the works of Jesus. I'm called to it. I'm anointed to do it. Hallelujah. Casting out devils in Asia. See, people today, everybody's trying to get, if I get a ministry of this and a ministry of that or a ministry, when we were all called to the ministry. I wasn't a preacher. I was just a young Christian and I would do things. And when I was a young Christian, I had to deal with demons and people. I didn't know anything at all about being in the ministry. I didn't know a thing about it. I just knew that you were called. Well, you're allowed to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Well, you came up and you had to deal with the devil and I dealt with them. I mean, I'm only born again a couple of weeks and I got to throw the devil out of my house. God told me, you go home and throw the devil out of your house. Why? Well, He took me over the scripture and says, in my name you cast out devils. So I thought that's what you were supposed to do and I went home. And I wasn't Kenneth Hagin and I wasn't Kenneth Copeland. I was none of those. I went home and I went to my house and cast the devil out and he left. Because I was dumb enough to believe what the Bible said. That he was going to have to leave. I didn't reach some kind of epitome of some great spirituality. Then God could use me. I'm sorry. God decided to use Ed when he got born again. Amen. The decision, the authority to minister was given on the day of birth. Amen. I'm in the family of ministry. I'm like my father, the minister. I'm like my brother, Jesus Christ, the minister. The Holy Ghost, the minister. That's our family. That's our heritage. Our heritage is to do these things. This is the authority of my family. This is the authority of your family. Hallelujah. Oh, we do all kinds of things to find out where our heritage comes from naturally. I come from a bunch of drunks. Hallelujah. And then I did, and then know what they did with him? God shot him and made a new man. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Who's born again with the nature of God. Hallelujah! God killed that man, the Bible says. He's dead! Hallelujah! God broke that heritage. Hallelujah! And gave me one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I tell you, I preach me happy. I don't know about you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, God made you a somebody. There's nothing in the church world. There's nothing like a nobody. There's no people around. See, we got to get past this thing. We have let ourselves believe the stories of weakness and what I am and what I'm not. Well, see, the Bible tells you what you are. The Bible, the story of the believer is wonderful. What Jesus said, see, that's why, is sit down and look at the things that Jesus said to those apostles about the night when he was going to be crucified. There was a change coming and it was going to be a glorious change. They were going to have the Holy Spirit was going to come. They were going to be given an authority and power that's literally out of this world. There's a glory coming. And it's designated to every believer. It isn't somebody, you know, because you were born in a certain area and you were such and such, had nothing. No, there's only one family in God. There's only one DNA. And anybody that comes into the kingdom, the inheritance is all the same. There's not this one got a really good authority, but this other one didn't, you know. Because this guy's a minister, he gets a certain great authority. None of that was there. It was to every believer. Amen. See, that's why you always hear me say this thing. See, there's no ladder of success in the church world. We all start at the top. Amen. We all start at the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're a king. You're a priest of God. Father, we just so want to thank you this morning. I am so glad your word's true. Lord God, there's a need for a supernatural help in this day and time. Natural words just don't get it. Just trying to do natural encouragement of people and using psychology. Lord God, it can't stand against the pressures of the time. But the word will stand forever. The incorruptible word of God, the seed of the power of God. Hallelujah. Working in us. Father, I thank you that we're full of faith and power. That's what we're full of. We're full of faith and power. Hallelujah. The word of God works for us because the name of Jesus, hallelujah, is the glory and the power. He's the living word. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you. He's the living word. And Lord God, I want to thank you. We take our place today of the authority that was given to us. Hallelujah. Oh, devil, there's a church rising up in glory. There's a people rising up. The people of God. Hallelujah. And you have no place, Satan, to stand in their presence. You have no place to stand before them. Hallelujah. Because the name of Jesus Christ is their name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus Christ is the glory that they stand in. Jesus Christ is the power that they walk in. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. That the power of Jesus Christ through faith in that name is working mightily in the church. I thank you, Father God, your words are coming forth in this day and time. They're rising up in us, hallelujah, in a greatness of power to walk in this place, Lord God, to step into the place, Lord God. Lord, there's things of the past I know that I walked in, Lord God, and to step back into those places again, to walk in those places of glory, Lord God. I see it and understand, Lord God, we have let things go, but Lord God, we're not going to release them, hallelujah. Lord God, we may have let them slip, but Lord God, we're not letting them out of our hand or out of our pocket. We're keeping them. We're holding them on to them. Lord God, we're not going to let those truths slip by us in this day and time. We're going to walk in the glory that's in those words. Hallelujah. And the words of Jesus are true. And anyone, Lord God, that says any different, they're a liar. God be true and every man a liar. We thank you. Those words are true. Hallelujah. We're the believers of Jesus Christ and we do his works. Glory to God. In his name. In his name, hallelujah, is the glory and the power of those works in demonstration. We thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to think today, Lord, each one of I don't know what areas you're dealing with. This one thing is I found out sometimes we're trying to fight battles on two or three different fronts. Is one of the things is learned to do is take a battle at a time. You know, I could sit out here and look and see, you know, 27 different things, but it's good to not, you know, you can, as you go along, you maybe come up the place you can deal with a couple of different things, but most people don't do well at it. It's whatever you're dealing. What are you dealing with? You know yourself. What are you dealing with at the time? What are you doing? Are you focused on something? Something that you need to be focused on that you need dealt with. Something that you need to change. You need it to change. See, if you have something that's like that. See, you need to get a focus on it. See, the Satan will keep coming along. You know, one thing is I found this out. I have had 27 at least different things. I have had more things go wrong lately. And I mean, they just seem to be piling up. If something can go wrong, it's one of those things, if it can happen, it's going to happen to me. It's sort of been like that. It's sort of like, my God, look at this took place. Now this happened. Now look at that. And you have these things, but I've learned over time. What the devil will use on you, and he'll carry you that point to get you over to keep your eyes on all those things that are happening to you. That's the place of defeat. Because what happens is, I'll just tell you this, he's trying to keep you from something that holds your victory. And so he'll get you looking at 27 different places to keep your eye off the place of victory. That's what he does. And he's so sweet at this that he'll begin to torment you and to torment your mind because you can't bring all this under control. You've been there? Saying, hey, well, what's wrong with me? What, my faith ain't working. What is wrong with me? You ever been there? Hallelujah. Well, I know you're alive and breathing then. But I'm telling the truth. He tries to get us to keep our eyes out there. This is where we need to come down and sit down and look and say, what really needs to be dealt with? You know, it's just like a good businessman. He may have many things going on, but what's the priority? See, you can get yourself spread out fixing things that aren't going to really straighten the whole thing out. That won't deal with what needs to be dealt with. And it's the same way spiritually it happens to us. What do I really need to deal with? Because this is one thing. You need to have a victory. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You need to understand to see, you need a victory. If you keep watching all those things that are happening around you and going on, that you're wasting your time trying to pray about all these things and believe God about all these things, you know what you do? You end up with no victories, and after a while, you start giving up. You start getting depressed. You start believing what those sounds in your head are telling you, well, you're just messed up. You just can't believe God. And you'll get around. And after a while, you'll join the song. And you'll be thinking it about yourself too, is what's wrong with me? See, you need a victory. You need to find what's the battle to fight. What's the battle to fight? One of the things that I've learned about this, I know sometimes, you know, it's just like with me. There's all these things going on, and I've come around to it, and I've stopped and I've said, you know, I'm trying to fight these things, but I realize this. What I need to do is keep my focus on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I need to get my mind off the stuff. You know, it's been coming to me a lot lately here. See, we have all these things happening. The battle for me is won in praise and worship. I wake up in the morning and I praise God and I worship God and I go through the day. I'll tell you, my inner man wants to sing songs. My outer man wants to cry. Now, you're going to listen to one tune. You're going to listen to a tune. But I realize this, my victory is praising Him. My victory is in magnifying Him and worshiping Him. He's big. He's big. I realize there's things I will not see clear till I can see Him clear. I won't see them clear. See, I want to try to do something about that. But He already has stuff planned about that. I need to keep my hand off of that. I need to maintain my faith and my joy. I need to make my faith. You know what? He's able. All these things, the storm's here, but He's able to take me through the storm. Hallelujah. I can lay my head in the pillow in the storm, and I can go to sleep on the boat and let the rest of the people run around and scream and carry on. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. Don't wake me up. That's hallelujah. I'm sleeping. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. I'm resting with Jesus. I'm with Jesus on the boat. But see, I realize this. I need Him to do something. My problems are beyond me. Paul said this, and see, this has come to me numbers of times over the last few weeks, where Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Amen. I'll tell you what, I done run out of head. I have no strength to fix it. But there's one in me that's strong, and one who strengthens me.
That's right.
And as long as I focus on Him, I have strength.
Hallelujah.
If I focus on Him, I have strength. Yep. Hallelujah. When I focus on Him, I have to smile. I can't. I have to smile. Hallelujah. When I'm focused on Him, I have no fear. Hallelujah. You can't have a battle every day. You can't do that. Just like our soldiers, we wore them out, throw them in a battle every day. Your Lord Jesus will never do that to you. He put the Holy Spirit in you for rest and peace.
Amen.
He's your helper, but I still like the word comforter. Because I'll tell you what, I need comfort. I need comfort. I had some time ago a woman who had visited here in a church one time, and she came, and there's just certain problems that happened in her life, and she wrote me an email and asked me a question about some things and stuff she'd gone through. She just felt she was just overwhelmed with the things that were going on. And she's trying to figure all this stuff out, and she emailed me, and I thought, you know, I could give back an answer of all kind of things, but I thought, I'm not going to do it. I said, Lord, what do I say to this woman? And it took me about a week or so. And then the Lord told me what to tell her back is what she needed. And I wrote her an email back and I said, you're looking at this problem from all the things. Where did I miss it? What did I do wrong? And blah, 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 going through all this stuff. And I said, you're in distress. I said, you don't need an answer of what you did wrong. I said, you need comfort right now. And you're not letting the comforter comfort you. You're just pointing out all your faults. Well, my God, you ain't got a pen and pencil long enough to write all your faults. Let's get real about this. That's why I don't sit down and write it. I tell you, I've run out of paper years ago. But see, I told her, I said, what you need is comfort because you can't ever see clear. You'll never judge yourself and what's going on properly till you can see it from a heavenly perspective. Because, you know, you can get too judgmental on you. And your end result, you feel worse than what you did starting off. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort us.
Hallelujah.
There's pressure. But you'll never make a good decision till you're comforted. Till you can see clearly. Hallelujah. Judgment's not going on to distress us. It's to show us things. Why? Because God's a lover. He's a forgiver. He's a blesser. He wants to bring comfort into your life. He wants you to be able to see clearly. So whatever it might be, hallelujah. Let's just praise Him. Hallelujah. Lord God, we worship You in prayer. We just say, You are so good and wonderful, and Your love for Your people, Your love for Your people is the most phenomenal thing. Lord God, Lord, even in our worst, Your love for us is unchanging. You continually reach out to us. And Lord God, I am so glad I have You to rest in. I am so glad, Lord God. Oh, Lord, You know I tried to carry the weight of some of this stuff. I tried that one. Oh, but Lord God, hallelujah, You kept reminding me of Your word to cast my cares. Cast all of my cares, all of my worries, all of my anxieties, all the things I've been fretting about, all the things that seem to press against me. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we're casting it out today. We're setting it aside. Lord God, we know in ourselves, I know in myself there's things that you want to work and change in me. But Lord God, you're not my enemy. You're my best friend. You're the one that loves me. Lord, I know this. If anybody loves me, it's you. If there's any love toward me today, it's from you. And I want to just say thank you. I'm just so glad. I'm so glad that in distress, I have a place of rest and I have a place of safety. And I want to thank you, Father, that you witness to each one here today, whatever they're going through, whatever's happening, that they can see that they have a place of rest, that they have a place of peace, that their dear blessed Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful Holy Spirit are working on their behalf, not against them. Working to restore, working to build up, working to set things in place again. Hallelujah. Oh, that things may, whatever might have fallen apart will be restored with greater blessing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for working today. Thank you for working mightily. Hallelujah. Father, my great desire that each one lives here today, that they feel no shame about themselves. Lord, there's one thing that we confess our sin when we missed it. But Lord God, we're not going to live in shame. You never had any purpose in us doing that. It would do no good. But Lord God, when you cleanse us and wash us, we stand up and rise up in the name of Jesus. We stand before the throne, hallelujah, and receive the wonderful grace of God in our lives that makes us overcomers, hallelujah, that puts us in the place of restoration, that we're restored again to the glory that you gave us from the beginning, hallelujah, Father God. And Father, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I thank you, grace is greater upon us today than it has ever been upon the church of Jesus Christ. That your glory is working in a more mighty way today in the name of Jesus. That the demonstration of your glory through your people will be staggering in these last days of your glory. Hallelujah. Not because of our righteousness or anything great that we've done, but Lord God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our faith in his name will demonstrate his glory. Hallelujah. In the earth. And many will call on that wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, that the salvation of God will be revealed through the glory of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for restoring us and refreshing us today. Thank you, Lord God, for breathing life back into us today. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Father God, to making those voices, even sometimes our own fleshly voice that has risen up against us, to silence it in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The life flows. Hallelujah. The joy is restored again. Hallelujah. Father God, faith rises up in fullness in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because we're believers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. It did me good today.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We're the church of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And you have been given the name which is above every name. It's been given to you. Hallelujah. It's your badge in the place of any defeat or anything that comes against, whatever sickness and disease, whatever comes, ministering to people. It's the badge of authority. And it's the place of the power of God through faith in that name will demonstrate itself. Hallelujah. It's yours. Walk in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.